Welcome to PodNuts, the Computer Repair Podcast, episode number 166. I'm your host, Jeff Hallish. I'm joined today by Armando Najera from Ninja. Armando, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Good to have you on the show. I know we've been talking about getting together for a long time, and I'm just excited to have you here to kind of share some knowledge with us with what you've been doing. But if you want to start off, go ahead and give us a little bit of background of where you come from, and then we'll kind of talk about the product.
Sure, absolutely. I appreciate you having us on the show and having me here. So in the warm regards, it's great. We're excited to be a part of PodNuts in the community. And I know you guys have been talking about us a lot on your PodNuts show for the past couple months, and we appreciate that. It's been great. So my name is Armando Najera, and I'm the Director of Business Development for Ninja RMM. Previously, before Ninja, I was with a company called ThreatTrack Security, which is the Viper product, Viper antivirus. And I spent 6 years with Viper, went through a couple different company name changes, but I have a huge background in security. So my forte, I guess you could say, is antivirus and network security and kind of different levels. At Viper, we had not just an antivirus product, but we had other products that were advanced persistent threat products that we had that allowed us to do stuff with the DoD, the government, FBI, things like that. So with that said, we had a lot of other cybersecurity products in the mix, which helped out our Viper product that we had. So I came to Ninja with a whole bunch of security background to help them look at the different levels of security that we do with the RMM platform, kind of help out where, you know, what integrations we should do next, and you know, just thinking outside the box and not just looking at your RMM platform to just monitor AV or monitor your backup and things like that, but really expanding what we can do for full 360 monitoring with Ninja.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, one of the things with, we're coming to a day and age now where I think that antivirus by itself is not good enough to protect even the end user at home. Would you say that's pretty much the case nowadays?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, within the last 5 to 6 years with the influx of malware that's out there and, you know, these bad hackers per se that have really kind of taken the industry by storm and the malware they can create, that antivirus just doesn't do the job anymore. I mean, it is one level of security, but there's so many different levels when you look at, you know, tightening down your network, whether it's a business or home network, and different things that you have to do, patch management, you know, just having alerts set up, firewalls, things like that. I think that AV is just one piece of the puzzle now when you talk about security and networking and stuff.
And would you say, as far as like viruses, because we talk about viruses a lot and we talk about malware, and to kind of differentiate between the two, are there as many persistent viruses, so to speak, anymore versus really malware, a lot of malware that's coming on a machine and slowing it down? Or how do you look at the differentiation between both of those?
Well, you know, the malware industry has now grown so much. You know, before you used to have adware, and then it would separate it from Trojans to ransomware to worms, things like that. And now they've kind of just incorporating its malware. If it's malicious on the machine and it's got malicious intent, it's malware. What do we need to do to stop it? I think that, you know, they're so sophisticated out there when you have the ransomware and the CryptoLocker stuff that, you have to think outside the box. And I know a lot of the AV companies have to look at different things, heuristic behaviors and other things that look at inside of the malware, because, you know, a lot of this malware is polymorphic now. So whether you think you've cleaned it and it's off the machine, it's already respawned as something different using different code. So I think when you look at the way malware is now, it's a different playing field in this industry. Okay. And it's gotten, I'd say, you know, worse as the years have gone on. Now you've got malware. I know when I worked for ThreatTrack in the lab, they would analyze over 400,000 pieces of malware a day with their sandbox technology. So it's a huge issue out there. You know, these malware authors are just delivering malware at a rapid speed, and the AV companies are just trying to keep the pace up. And I think they're still, you know, having a hard time with that.
Well, and nothing's going to be 100% perfect, and you've just got to give the best case scenario. But I would think that nowadays too, with not only Windows patching, you need that patch where Windows is a lot of times after the first year or so, I think of an operating system release, they're not really adding any new features to an operating system. Every time they do an update, whether it be once a month or once a week, they're basically patching that system holes that the bad guy can get into. And the same thing goes for third party. A lot of people will use things like Adobe Reader and different things like that. And you definitely have to have something that's going to be able to fill those holes on a regular basis, or that malware can just kind of creep its way in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, now the malware authors have gotten so sophisticated in the way they write it, the way they hide it on the machine, and they look to exploit a user's machine. So absolutely, like you said, patch management, that's a huge issue by itself. If your machine's not patched, you know, the malware authors are looking to exploit that machine, looking for your Adobe not to be up to date, or your Java or Skype or whatever other programs you're running on that machine. So when they're building the malware, those are the exploits they're looking for. And I'm sure, you know, in the consumer business, you see, because I can't tell you how many of my family members, when I remote in their computers, that they just bypass the patching. Oh, I'll do it later. I'm not worried about it. You know, it's no big deal. But it is a big deal, because that's how you get hit a lot of the times. You know, and it's phishing too. You know, a lot of the malware authors use phishing techniques, such as sending stuff like it's UPS, UPS, your shipment's delayed.
Right.
Well, a lot of people don't think, oh, well, did I order something? Well, okay, my shipment's delayed. Let me click on this link. And then boom, it's, you know, already injecting something into the PC, and off it goes. So,
yeah, that's tough. I know a lot of my customers, what they'll tell me is that when they're looking, and I always tell them, if something pops up in the lower right-hand corner, like Java or Adobe or something along those lines, or even Windows 10 update, hey, you need to update, whatever. A lot of times, I used to tell them those are okay, but it becomes so confusing because there are malware out there, or ransomware, or whatever you want to call it, that will pop up in the same spot and go, hey, you need to update this, and they'll click on it, and the next thing you know, they're infected, and it brings in everybody's, all their cousins and brothers and sisters, and then that machine's just a mess. And then the customer, for whatever reason, will not get back in touch with me until I say, I can't get online anymore.
Right.
As soon as my browser is broken, that's when I want you to come in and fix it. And I'm like, but a lot of that, I think, could have been avoided as if their patches were being done on a regular basis. And you've got to have something that's able to manage that.
Absolutely. I mean, the malware authors are so sophisticated now. They look for all those stuff, right? They look for the end user to click and say, okay, now I do know I need to update my Java. And they're not paying attention to it because it looks just like Java, but it's not. And then they go and they click it, and it sends an infection. And I think that's, you know, we're used to being in a reactive state and not a proactive state, right? So right. The users are always just reactive. Oh, now I can't get online. Now let me call my PC guy and let me let him know. And, you know, and then you go from there, and it's crucial at that point. It's always the house is burning at that point, right? I got to get online now. You don't understand. And, you know, and I think the age we're in now, you know, 2016, where everything's mobile, right? You know, a lot more employees work remote. I work remote. Our company headquarters is based out of San Francisco, California. I reside here in Palm Harbor, Florida, which is about 20 minutes outside of Tampa. So, you know, when you look at how many remote employees there are across the world now that are just working from home and doing things, you really have to start looking at, okay, now we have to protect ourselves. We, you know, even with the remote employees, we have to have something that's monitoring what they're doing, that's doing the patch management, that's able to monitor the firewall routers. That way they're not clicking on something, or if they're not doing it, you're proactively using your tool to go ahead and either update their patch management or make sure that their AV is up to date, or, you know, doing other monitoring, SNMP monitors, monitoring with firewall switches, print servers, things like that. So I think now the way things are going, that we have to start taking a more proactive look at how we monitor and what we should be doing to our networks versus being reactive. And I think it's having to educate the customer on that, telling them, hey, you know, you can call me when the house is burning down, but instead, you know, we should really use a tool that's more proactive, that you're not calling me, you're not getting flustered or upset because you have to be online right now, where we're able to go ahead and take care of these things and monitor your network or your machine so that this doesn't happen. You know, it's not saying that you're going to 100% prevent it, because again, nothing's perfect, but you're taking a more precautionary measure towards a consumer's machine.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then on the other end of the spectrum, a lot of my customers will say, well, I don't update anything because I don't know what's good or not. So they're kind of in this quandary where they go, I'm not sure what to do. And that's when I have to tell them, listen, what we need to do is set something up on your machine that we can monitor it all the time. We've got good AV, we've got good patch management, and we'll take care of all the stuff in the background and you don't have to worry about it. You just, when you want to get on your computer, you get on it, you do what you need to do. We take care of everything in the background. And I think that's crucial because, again, I can't tell you how many AVs by themselves I'll get in a shop and it's so infected. It's like, wow, did this thing do anything? But it's not able to block a lot of that stuff, especially the newer stuff as it's coming out, because there's holes in the system and that's where they got to be plugged. But the customers don't know how to plug them or if they should plug them.
Exactly. And those are the consumers that you look at and you go, wow, they're still smart in an aspect where they don't know if they should click on it because they don't want to get infected. But then it leaves them, you know, open to getting infected because now they're not patching their system. So, it's kind of one of those aspects that you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, right? If I don't do it, you know, I could still have something happen. And I think that's where, you know, we look at mobile on the rise and, you know, more houses have computers, laptops, tablets, mobile phones. I mean, your average house probably has, you know, 3-4 mobile devices versus years ago when you'd be lucky if you had one computer in there. So you only had to worry about the one. And I think now as the time has gone, we need to start looking at that business and looking and educating those consumers and saying, hey, listen, you know, you've got these issues. We're going to be more proactive in what we do. We're going to use tools that are going to be proactive in that state that are going to alert me when something's wrong. It's going to let me know. We're going to start patching your system where you don't have to worry about, is that patch good? Our tool's going to take care of that. Our tool's going to patch it automatically for you. We already know what's going on. I'll be alerted if you have a network down or a switch or your website, things like that. So it's just now we have to go into education mode so that we can be more proactive on this monitoring for consumers.
That's good. Now, obviously, you have a lot of expertise in this industry. It's not like you just came to this industry yesterday and said, hey, we're going to do patch management. We're going to do threat management and we're going to, and I don't really know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to sell it anyways. But going into, you have a lot of knowledge in this area because of your background. Going into, obviously, Ninja is a fairly new player to the RMM field, remote management and monitoring, right? But there was a lot of things that I looked at in what your product does that I really liked. From my standpoint, in the ways that I could understand it, that are a little bit different than what some of the other players in the field are doing. And not to say that anybody is any worse or any better than anybody else, but what are some of the things and what can Ninja do for the computer business owner that's out there trying to protect their customer base? If you want to go over some of the things that it can do from top to bottom, we'll talk about those as we go.
Sure, absolutely. So like you said, Ninja is new to the market, to the RMM game. The great thing is we're not new to the industry, right?
Right.
Dev team and our CEO are the ex-Packetrap RMM guys. So they've been in the RMM business, you know, they have 10, 15 years of experience in this field. So with their experience and what they've done and what they've done with the Ninja product has been phenomenal because they turned around and they actually listened to the MSPs, right? That's the first and foremost thing that you have to do is you got to turn around to the customer base that is going to purchase your product and use your tools and say, hey, what do you need from us that would require to make your job easier? One-click remediation. What do you want us to monitor? How do you want us to do it? You know, and I think that's huge in this industry. And I think a lot of companies start off doing that and then they forget about why they do it. And then they just build a product because they think it's great. Where Ninja listens to their customers and we want to build a product for our customers, not because it's what we want. So, you know, when we looked at building Ninja and even when you look down just to the UI being simplistic, you know, MSPs told us we want something easy to use. We don't want to go through a 30-day university. We don't want to have to, work on it and spend all of our day in an RMM platform. We want to be able to click, deploy, monitor, have it send me an email when something's wrong and be done with it. I want to spend my time doing other things. And that's what we looked at. How do we make the product easy? How do we make it simplistic? How do we help the MSPs drive their business? Well, we got to build a product that's going to be one-touch remediation, that's going to do the 360 monitoring that they need. SNMP technology is inside of Ninja. You know, we cover Windows devices, servers, Mac devices. So we're trying to hit all the devices out there that are going to be crucial to an MSP's business. We're going to have Linux coming soon. Our mobile deployment will be coming soon for iOS and Android. So we're going to help them make their lives easier and spend less time monitoring these devices and more time growing their business. Because if they grow their business, they got more revenue, they're happier because they've got more money coming in while they're spending less on all these different tools. We're just combining everything in one tool. We've got a nice platform that's going to do all your monitoring for you. It's going to report on your backups. It's going to report on your AV. We do true integrations, which I think is a little bit different than some of the RMM companies out there now. We actually do want to provide a single painted glass solution for you guys. We want it to be where you're just opening up the Ninja console to go ahead and do your daily activities, and you're not going in there and have to open up a separate console for AV, or you know, maybe you have to run a separate script to do your patch management. Everything is done inside of Ninja where you don't have to worry. And you know, as we evolve as a player in the game, we'll begin to implement more integrations inside of Ninja and doing bigger and better things for you guys. So you know, we look at all those aspects when we're building the tool or we're getting ready to release the next feature. We ask for your feedback. On Friday we were on the phone with John Dubinsky and you know, talking with John and getting some stuff that's going on, and some he had some great feedback for us and some things we could change or look at differently, and those things that the customers bring to us is invaluable in our eyes. Because again, we don't know what's going to make your business tick. We don't know what's going to make your lives easier and that's going to help you throughout the day to make it easier. We need that feedback so we can go in and make the tweaks inside of the product to make your lives easier. That way you can go out and do your things and not have to stress about it. And then if a server goes down or something does go down, you're being alerted right away.
Right.
That's nice.
I'm getting a little back from you. I don't know if something turned on, I'm not sure. Okay.
I got a lot of electronics in the room. I think that's probably my first bet is I got to take some of these electronics out on multiple computers, laptops, tablets. So yeah.
It might have went away. Okay. So it sounds like it did. As far as what your product does. So obviously it's got antivirus, you know, let's start there and kind of talk a little bit about what the antivirus does and some of the things that maybe are coming down the pike that are attached to what the antivirus can do as a whole.
Sure. So currently we integrate with Viper, ThreatTrex Viper technology, and we are fully baked into the system. So you can deploy Viper right from the console. You can uninstall from our console. You can set the policies. You can go ahead and set exclusions in there. Obviously, if you're protecting a server, you're going to want to exclude the MySQL database so that Viper is not scanning it and pulling the server down. You can, you know, enable the active protection inside of there, as well as some other options where you can actually tell it if it misscans, if the computer went down for some reason, or maybe it's a Road Warrior laptop and it's always out and about. And so then when the machine turns on, it goes ahead and does a quick scan on that. We can also do custom folders. We can scan custom folders that you want to set up inside of there. So the AV engine, there's a lot we can actually do with Viper that allows us to control for the user, where they don't have to open up anything else and, you know, they don't have to worry about it, and they just set and leave it, and it'll go ahead and tie back into our reporting, all into our alerting. Obviously, we're going to alert you if Viper catches something. If it's quarantined anything, we'll alert you if a scan fails or gets aborted for some reason. So we have a lot of alerting built into Viper, as well as Viper's made some enhancements coming up that we'll be adopting those changes in a future release with Viper. But we also do know in this industry that we can't rely on just one partner, right? We have to have multiple partners inside of the integration. So we are picking up a couple other AV vendors that will be fully baked inside of Ninja. Again, so you have that single painted glass platform and you don't have to worry about opening up another console. So we're looking at at doing some stuff with there. And then eventually as time goes on, we would love to be a honeypot for other integrators out there that want to take their products or maybe make a light API kit that will allow us to maybe not do a full blown integration, but we can do some reporting back, give you more than just what's on the machine. We do have third party AV. So if they don't want to use Viper, our provided solution, they can use any solution they want inside of the product. We will do some reporting back. We'll let them know what product they're using, if the definitions are up to date, when the last scan was, if it caught anything on the scan, and we'll actually tie that back into our reporting as well. So you can run a report on that.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah. That's, I mean, that kind of covers the whole gambit of what antivirus is supposed to do and how it's supposed to work. And not only that, you guys, because it's an RMM tool, it's reporting back good, bad, or indifferent to let you know if you actually need to deal with something or, hey, if it's just flying. And I can tell you from my standpoint, it works very well, and it takes care of, I'll tell you, the customers that I've put on there, especially on the residential side, is just the stuff that they used to call me about because their computer would get so messed up. They're not calling me about it anymore. The product is just doing what it's supposed to do. So that's one end of it. Now, so let's go into the Windows patch management and sure. Kind of what that's doing.
Sure. So we do full Windows patch management. We actually have a really cool system that we integrated with that allows us to take control of the Windows patching without you having to turn it off or on in the system on the user end. Once you enable it inside the policy and take full control, you have a lot of different options. You have security level options where you can say, okay, if it's a crucial patch, go ahead and approve that. But if it's just an important patch, I want to go ahead and do a manual approval, which means I want to go ahead and tell the system to either A, approve it for the device, or I can approve it for the whole policy if I'd like. So it gives the MSP a lot more control over the patch managements of what you're sending out in patches. And if you don't want the crucial patches to go out, you don't have to do that either. We also have a really cool feature called rejected patches in our system, where you can actually take a patch and put it into rejection status. So something like Windows 10, right? It's bugging you. It keeps coming up. The end user sees it. Upgrade, upgrade. They're calling you. I need to upgrade. Should I upgrade? And you're like, we're not ready for that. You can actually put into a rejection state so it stops bugging you and the end user. And then later, go ahead and approve it when you're ready to use to use it. And again, Windows patching is just one caveat to what's going on in the industry. We are going to be integrating a third-party patch management. I know we spoke about this a few months back, and we're actually a lot closer now where we're beginning integration with a company where we're going to be able to do those automated patches just like your Windows, where we can say, okay, if it's Java or Adobe or Skype or Chrome or Mozilla, any one of those important third-party software that's out there, we'll be able to take the same kind of granular control and say, okay, you know, maybe Adobe's automatic approved. Don't worry about that. But a Java, you know, sometimes with different versions, depending on what they're using it for, you may not want to auto approve that. So you're going to have the same kind of controllability inside of the Ninja platform. And then we're going to alert you, right? So that's the big thing. A lot of your end users, they bypass it or they don't worry about it. They don't worry about it till they call you with an issue, where now you're going to be able to be more proactive and say, okay, hey, listen, your system, I'm seeing the patches, now I can go in and patch it. And again, the purpose of an RMM tool is for you to be more proactive instead of reactive. And then again, let the product do what it needs to do and just one touch remediation. When you're ready, just click and install the patch, or again, just approve all of it and let it do its thing. You know, depending on your customer, you may not have to go in there and approve the patches. You just want it to auto approve everything and just send you a report. Hey, I know that on Sunday at 5 a.m., it went ahead and did all these patches. So the nice thing is you can schedule it so that, you know, it's not doing it during the time that they're using the machine. And then it's maybe some patches are requiring a reboot on the machine, things like that. So you can actually set custom, right down to the custom date and time on what you want, when you want it to scan for a patch, and then B, when you want it to install that patch.
That's good. And I like the aspect of, as far as the customer goes, there's things in the patching, like Windows will have hardware patches for Intel or whatever devices that are on that computer. Well, on my customers' machines, I will reject those in the policy because I don't want my customers to, a lot of times those patches will actually break a system, especially laptops. So I like to go to the manufacturer's website and get that stuff separately. But even with, and I know the third-party patch management is coming and we're excited about that, but even before then, you can still run scripts with Ninja RMM and be able to do that patch management on an ongoing basis right now, correct?
Absolutely. So we have custom scripting inside of Ninja that we built in that allows you to use PowerShell, Java scripting, things like that. We support all the major scripting languages where you can create a custom script and then go ahead and send it out. So you can give it the file path or the MSI or the EXE to go ahead and do the patching for you automatically or across the policy, right? So if you have a customer that might have five devices, well, instead of you remoting into those five devices and going in and doing those third-party patches, you can run a custom script to do that. We have some customers that have been able to tie it in with Nighthawk, running a custom script that calls back to Nighthawk, and then Nighthawk goes in and deploys those patches. So there are some workarounds currently now in our system with not having that third-party integration that you can utilize to go ahead and patch through third-party patches in our system.
Very cool. All right, so moving on from there. So we've covered basically how you plug the holes, how you protect the system on an ongoing basis as far as the threats that are coming in. What are some of the other things that Ninja can do for us right now that we can use to help our customers out?
Sure. So, you know, Ninja, like I said, is a 360 monitoring platform. So we're not just looking at threats. We're not just looking at the patch management, although, again, those are multiple concerns in the industry and there are different levels. But we can tell you if your CPU is peaking out, you know, maybe at 80%, or maybe there's certain products you need to update the RAM. So, and that's another thing, like when you have consumer customers, where you make a lot of your money too, is upgrading the machines that they have, whether it's RAM or maybe a bigger hard drive or things like that. Again, you can be more proactive by setting up the conditions inside of Ninja's policy and say, okay, if, you know, the RAM hits 80% threshold, go ahead and let me know. And then you can see what the user is doing throughout their day and it'll notify you and say, hey, here's a condition, it hit off. And that gives you another caveat to say, hey, listen, you know, judging by what you're doing all day and the stuff, you know, you only have 4 or 6 gigs of RAM. We really need to bump you up to 10 or 12 to really to handle what you're doing. That way you don't have any issues. You don't, your machine's not slowing down or freezing up. And again, it gives you an upsell, right? You can add some memory into the computer. But again, you're being proactive for that user saying, hey, I'm identifying a potential issue that could get worse for you. And that's, again, what Ninja's set to do in the conditions. You can set up a lot of different alerts. You can look at disk usage. We do a lot of cloud monitoring, so we can do ping, DNS, port, HTTP, and even email cloud monitoring in our system. And with the way cloud has really evolved in the last, I'd say, 3 to 4 years, that's become a really evident piece that you have to have on top of just having 360 monitors, be able to do some cloud monitoring and setting those projects up in the system and allow Ninja to do that. And the great thing is we don't charge for it. So we give it free for all of our Ninja customers. It's built inside of Ninja. You can utilize it. You can set up as many cloud monitors that you want to set up in our system and utilize it.
Oh, nice. Very cool. All right. So what's some of the other things that now I noticed you said something about you guys are doing network monitoring using mm-hmm. Ninja now, right?
Absolutely. So we have SNMP technology, and it's our own technology that we built back in the day, and we revamped it and we put it inside of Ninja. And now we can do, you know, routers, firewalls, switches, print servers. There's a lot. So when you look at monitoring on a network, it's not just monitoring the PC, right, or those devices. You have to look at other devices that are installed on the network. Print servers, you know, scanners, things like that. So now we can actually take it a step further and monitor those devices and let you know when potential issues might come up or, you know, if you have loss of internet connectivity, things like that. So we can look at all that monitoring traffic inside of our Ninja platform too and alert you when things might come up or issues, again, allowing you to be more proactive with the customer instead of reactive waiting for a router to fail or a firewall to be down or having an issue like that.
Because when you're doing that type of monitoring, you can figure out whether or not if they're getting packet loss and different things like that. Obviously, it's going to let you know, hey, something's going on here. We need to look at this and let's get on top of this before the customer's actually calling you and go, hey, we're down.
Right, exactly. Because we're looking at all the traffic data that's going across and, you know, and feeding that back into the Ninja console and then alerting you on that, as well as we've got some really cool features that we're going to be releasing, you know, in the next quarter or two, that's going to even amplify that more and more traffic analysis that we'll be able to see on the network and our Ninja Flow, which is going to be a huge feature for us that's coming here soon, where we can do some really cool traffic analysis without really configuring it. It's going to be pre-configurable. It'll work on-premise or off-premise. And for the MSP, the less you have to do to set something up, the better it is, right? You just click it. I want it on. Let it do its thing and report back the data to me, and let me choose what I want to do with the data at that point.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. Is a lot of us are, you're right, we don't want to sit down there and try to learn the things that we need to do to protect our customers. We kind of want that flow where we can turn it on or turn it off and exactly. Make it very simple on us and have that ease of use.
Right. And that's where we come in listening to you guys, right? You want a product that's easy and it's one touch remediation. And that's really what we're trying to create here inside of Ninja, is just really if something goes wrong, okay, you log in, you click it, it's remediating the problem, you log out and you go about your day. And that's what an RMM platform is supposed to do for you. It's supposed to remediate your issues without you having to spend all day in the platform. You know, you should be able to log in, click, log back out and be done with it. We can do things in our conditions where, all right, you know, if you set the policy up to say at the disk usage is at 80% threshold, when it hits that, alert me. Well, you can also put in actions inside of that policy and say, okay, if that happens, I want you to go ahead and delete the temporary files, or I want you to go ahead and clear the DNS, or, I want you to empty the recycling bin. You can give Ninja actions to do, again, without you having to log in and say, okay, now I got to go in there and I got to empty the recycling bin, or I got to look at this. You can actually program those actions inside of Ninja's policy, and it'll go ahead and do those when a condition triggers inside of it.
That's great. Yeah. I like that because it's a proactive approach to what it is we do. So that's really cool.
And it's allowing you again to spend your time doing other things, right? You got to stop what you're doing to remote in a couple of computers to empty a recycling bin. That's ridiculous. You know, so you let Ninja do its thing. You know, you let our product work for you and you not have to work for the product.
And you guys have some pre-configured scripts in there that does like a Windows cleanup and different things like that. And you can schedule that on a regular basis, correct?
Absolutely. So besides being able to input custom scripts inside of the Ninja platform, we can definitely, we have pre-scripts in there ready for you that'll do a Windows cleanup for you, or, you know, clear the DNS cache. It'll, you know, empty the recycling bin. So there are pre-scripts inside of Ninja, and we'll be expanding those as we grow and doing some other things. I think that what we're trying to build here with Ninja is not just a product, but a community where the MSPs talk to each other and they share ideas. And maybe you've got some really cool custom scripts that they can utilize, or maybe we can go to you and say, wow, these scripts probably everybody can utilize. Maybe we'll take them and actually embed them inside of Ninja and make them a part of either our default scripting policy, or maybe we add a secondary scripting in there that says optional scripts that you could use to further alert you or further help you in your business without you actually having to physically go into that machine and do anything.
I like that. A community effort where people can bring their ideas and it can get utilized. Very cool.
Absolutely. And we're big on that at Ninja. You know, our roadmap is customer facing. So if you're a customer with Ninja, you'll get our roadmap and you can see that we stay pretty on top of it. Again, we're going to let you guys vote for features and integrations that we do. And as things come up that are more important, you know, you might have an idea that maybe some other MSPs didn't think about. And then we say, hey, that's probably a good idea. Let's go ahead and blast it out in the Ninja community and see how many people really would want to see this feature or this tweak inside of Ninja. And then we would go in and do it. And it's not saying that we wouldn't do a one-off just to satisfy a customer. If it's a tweak that we're like, oh, that's really easy in the system, we can do that and actually make sense for us to do it, we won't even shoot anything out to the community. We'll just go ahead and make the change inside of Ninja. Because we feel if it's something that could work, everybody's probably going to benefit from it.
Oh, that's great. That's a great outlook to have. So what are some of the other things? Have we missed anything that the RMM tool can do for us?
There are some other options that the RMM tool can do. We have PSA integration. We currently integrate with two of the top PSAs on the market. We integrate with Autotask and ConnectWise. Okay. We have really nice integrations with them that allow you to go ahead and utilize the ticketing feature that they have inside of your system, as well as Ninja is building out our own ticketing and PSA product that's going to be very feature rich. We're taking a lot of feedback from what the MSPs have to say and what they want to see inside of it. And it's going to be a product that we hopefully will release this year, probably latter part of the latter part of the year, you're probably looking at like Q3, Q4 on this ticketing and PSA system. But again, it's something that we think that's going to really help our user base for people who don't have it, or maybe they want to get into it, but they're really not sure what they want to use. We know that Repair Shopper is a really big one for you guys and a lot of people like that. And we're going to be in talks with them. You know, again, just because we build something out for ourselves, we still want to have those integrations. If we can make them work and it's right for the customer, then we still want to have those third-party integrations in there for you in case you're using Repair Shopper or ConnectWise or Autotask. But we will be building our own, and it'll be given free again to our Ninja community. So, you know, I know every company's out there trying to make a dollar. Here at Ninja, we're just trying to satisfy our customers. So, you know, one of the things is if we can make it work, then, you know, we give it free to our customer base that has been with us inside of the Ninja Dojo. So,
oh, that's great. Yeah, no, I again, that philosophy to me is really what builds companies like yours, is just that community effort and letting the community speak to what they want. And it just helps everybody. So that's very cool.
It's a great vision. Our CEO has a great vision for the company. He really wants to provide everything he can for the MSPs when it comes to integrations and features and giving stuff away. I mean, he's not looking to charge for everything, which is great. You know, he's looking to really build a product that people want to use, you know, that you're excited about using, that's easy for you to use, and, you know, everything else will speak for itself. One of the other great integrations that we have is our remote access tool, which is TeamViewer. We use TeamViewer as our remote access tool inside of Ninja. We have an actual one-of-a-kind integration with TeamViewer that they don't have with any other RMM company out there at this point. We have every feature that you could utilize inside of TeamViewer. So it's just like you activating the TeamViewer console yourself. You'll be able to have every feature in there. You can do chat logs. You can do remote sessions. You can use the VoIP technology to call into the customer to chat with them about an issue. You can drag and drop files. So everything you can do inside of TeamViewer, you can also do inside of the Ninja integration. What's really cool too is we have a few other things that they did for us. The first thing is they have a really nice API that allows us to tie back into our Ninja console. So if you do want to use a TeamViewer console for any reason, or use their app on the tablet or mobile phone to remote into one of your customers, once you set up your access, you can put your username and password inside of the TeamViewer app. It will actually copy all of your Ninja database inside of it so that you have remote access from a tablet or phone, or maybe you're just at another computer and you don't want to remote into your Ninja console. You can remote into a TeamViewer access panel and then go ahead and see all your Ninja customers that have populated on the side there and have direct access to those customers. We also have unlimited concurrent connections now. So for some of the bigger MSPs, we know that was a problem, one concurrent connection, but they might have multiple technicians that need to use the product and remote into customers at the same time. So now TeamViewer has worked out an agreement with us where we have unlimited concurrent connections in the system, and you're not bounded by the version number either. So anytime TeamViewer releases a new version, and we get that integration, obviously, we got to take some time to test it and implement it inside of Ninja. But you'll also have that that newer version shortly thereafter they release.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, again, it sounds great because we're all looking for that one tool. And I like how you guys say it, paint with that one pane of glass that I can look into and see everything under just that pane of glass and go from there and get in, get out, and move on with my day.
Absolutely. We're big on that. So anytime we look at anything, it's, okay, what's it going to do for our customer? And are we still providing the single pane of glass solution? And again, is it one touch technology? Is it one touch remediation? Is it doing what we need it to do? If you have to spend more than 30 minutes inside a Ninja, then we're doing something wrong. You know, we've done something wrong on our end and we got to tweak it. So, you know, again, we're trying to make the product as easy as to use, where it's not going to take you 30 days to figure it out. It's not going to take you 3 days to set it up and deploy it. I know, you know, I reference John a lot because I've worked closely with him and what he's done. And, you know, I know he had an aggressive time frame to get computers on and probably didn't realize how easy it was to integrate. And he quickly was able to flop customers over to the new platform in a shorter period of time than I think he even thought, because it's an easy platform to use.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Yeah. John, him and I worked on that, and we've talked about it extensively. So he had a real it wasn't easy, but as far as because he had so many customers, but it was, it wasn't real painful either. So he was able
to. Yeah. I mean, you know, when we say easy, it's never easy to have to switch out your RMM tool, right? It's always a pain in the butt, because then you got to do all that. But, you know, what we try to do is relieve it as much stress from you as we can to try to make it as easy with our platform. So, and I think we, you know, we do that and we think about that every day. And, you know, when we implement features, what it's going to do, you know, are we doing the right things? And we have a great dev team that's out there. We have a great engineering team that have Design Ninja. They take a lot of pride in the product. You know, if something happens, we're all hands on deck company. We are very proactive in trying to figure out what we need to do to fix it and how quickly we can fix it. And I don't think you hear anybody in the company say, well, that's not my job. I think we all are invested because we want to see the product succeed and we want to see the company strive. Obviously because we love the company, but also for our MSP and our users out there, we want them to not have any impactful issues with the product. So we work very hard. We have a great engineering and dev staff. So I'm very, very lucky and very blessed to be part of such a great team.
And I'll tell you, going back to, as far as the installer, I mean, the installer is so lightweight. And as far as that goes, it's so lightweight and quick. You're like going, did it do anything?
Right, exactly.
And I've loaded it on several, you know, different types of systems, whether remotely or even on-prem, and it just works. I go, and I'll go back to my Ninja arm, you know, look in the control panel and, oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, it just works. You know, that's a beautiful thing when it works and you don't have to worry about it. And, you know, again, lightweight, everything's got to be lightweight now.
Right.
Nobody wants to deal with anything that's heavy or that's going to take a long time to install, or when it does install, does it break things or does, you know, certain products not install with it? We package everything inside of the product and installs when Ninja, you know, are we perfect? No, I'm sure, you know, there might be some issues here and there, but again, we'll work through those as the time comes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's, everything has its growing pains. And you know what? The thing with all this, there's different types of systems out there and there's different needs. And we, even if we do stuff manually, it still breaks. So we deal with this stuff all the time. So to have a tool that's working most of the time, every once in a while it breaks something, it shouldn't be that big of a deal.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Is there anything else that we missed, or if we covered everything that, I mean, it sounds to me like, and I hope you guys stay around too. I'm vested. I know John's vested, and we've got several other techs that are starting to use your product, and we want the product to succeed out there. And is there anything else that we didn't cover as of yet?
You know, there's a lot of different things that the Ninja platform can do. You know, we can look at in our devices, subpage, we can look at, you know, you can look at all the machines that have condition warnings. You know, you can really drill down in our platform and look at things. If you just want to look at the servers, if you just want to look at the servers that are down, or if you want to look at just your Mac machines and see what's going on, you know, you can look at all the warnings that have hit in the system. So there's tons of stuff you can do inside of the Ninja platform. I really encourage anybody that would like to learn more to visit our website, sign up and request a demo for us. Let one of our sales managers show you the product. Demo takes anywhere. It really depends on questions and things like that, but a demo can take anywhere from 20 minutes to 45 minutes in length, you know, to show you really what the platform can do and how powerful it is and all the monitoring capabilities and how we're going to make your life easier. And we're going to show you that it is one touch remediation, that you can just leave it alone and let it do its thing. And it'll email you when there's a problem. We can send you notifications by text message. So there's just so much that the product can do. And, you know, without trying to give you a demo of it now, I really encourage anybody who wants to check the product out to visit our website and request it from us.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, definitely check it out, because I know a lot of people are looking for different types of tools to make their lives easier. You know, and I encourage people all the time, check the products out. I believe you guys do a 30-day trial. Is that what I saw on the website?
Absolutely. We do a 30-day trial of the website, of the product. You just go to www.ninjamsp.com. That'll bring you to our nice landing page. That'll tell you a little bit about product and what we're doing, as far as some of the integrations, the community that we're building, things like that. And then it'll allow you to go ahead and contact us to sign up for a demo. We have an awesome SDR team that'll reach out to you, get you on the line with us, and we'll be happy to get a demo. Maybe they'll get a demo from me. I'm one of the three that gets circulated, so you never know. It could be me giving you the demo, but we would love to show you the platform and really show you how powerful our tool is.
And I'll say this too, is that the support from Ninja has been top notch as far as getting a hold of you guys, being able to ask a question, get that question answered, whether it's available at this point right now or whatever, but the support team there is just phenomenal as far as I'm concerned. And it seems to me like they actually do care about the end customer.
We appreciate that. We work very hard to take care of our customers and show that we appreciate them and that we're not just letting you create a support ticket. You know, we'll jump on calls. We're very proactive. We have an awesome onboarding team. Natan Ovadia is our director of customer experience. So he makes sure that, you know, that, you know, our customers get onboarded correctly. If they're having any issues or if there's too many tickets in the system or they're not getting a response quick enough, he's there. We have a great team in place to service our customers. So it's not one of those things where you have to worry about, okay, if I submit a support ticket, is it going to take a week for them to get back to me? No, we're pretty consistent. We're on top of the things. Everybody gets an alert when a support ticket gets created in our company. So we're all aware of customers. So we don't let nothing slips through the cracks with us. We're proactive ourselves in taking care of our customers.
That's awesome. Armando, I really appreciate you taking your time on a Sunday evening, coming out here with us and sharing with us about Ninja and about what your tool can do. And I just, I encourage people to definitely check it out. If people wanted to get in touch with you, what's the best way that they could do that?
Sure. So if they want to get in touch with me directly, they can email me. And my email is Armando, ArmandO, at ninjamsp.com.
Okay, great.
Okay, and they can email me directly and I'd be happy to set them up for a demo. If they have any questions around the product, I'd be glad to answer those questions. If they would like to just email sales, they can email sales@ninjamsp.com. And that, like I said, that'll go to our SDR team. They'll get them scheduled right away with one of our consultants. We have Amar. He's great. Eric, there are two directors of sales. So you're not going to just talk to anybody. You're going to talk to directors from the company. We're all working really hard. And, you know, we take a lot of pride in our product. So we would love to show it off to you. And I know those guys would like to show it.
Awesome. And we'll have all the links in the show notes for everybody so that they can get a hold of these guys and go to the website and definitely check it out.
Awesome. And we really appreciate you letting Ninja on the show. I know it was a Sunday, but it's great. Anytime that we can indulge and show off our product and talk about it is great for us. We love it. So I appreciate your time tonight, Jeff, and helping us out. There is going to be a special promo for anybody that watches the show and inquires and does a demo with us. So if they just let either myself, Eric, or Amar know that they watched the Podnut show and that's how they heard about us, we will have a special promo code for them to utilize if they decide they would like to sign up with Ninja.
Awesome. Definitely appreciate that. Everybody likes their promo codes.
That's right. That's right. And if you sign up, you get some really cool Ninja t-shirts that I have behind me there, Ninja MSP t-shirts that we give to our customers. So yeah, absolutely. We got some really cool stuff that we do.
Awesome. Well, like I said, appreciate you having you on. And if you'd like to feature your product or service on this show, send an email to podnuts@podnuts.com. And I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts, the Computer Repair Podcast. My name is Jeff Hallish. I'm the host of Podnuts Daily, where we interview real people who are working in the computer repair field. I would like to invite you to come check out the shows to learn what other computer repair techs are doing. If you would like to be a guest on the show, then contact me at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. Podnuts Daily, where it's fun to talk tech. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.